Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to be springboarding off these two verses here. That is Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Once everyone is there, just say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." In verse 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be able to present your word. I pray, Lord, that it be utilized to honor you and even to give enlightenment on a certain subject that we'll be speaking about today. Pray it be a blessing and a challenge to each and every one of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start out in the book of Colossians, and the reason why I just want to start a biblical foundation before we can make connections on some other things in hip-hop. Today's message will be titled The Truth Behind Hip-Hop, the Hip-Hop Pleroma. So that's what we'll be focusing on today.
Okay.
All right? So the truth behind hip-hop. But like I said, we're going to get into the book of Colossians, give a little context before we get going here, and that way we'll be able to connect the dots and see where we're going with this here. All right? So we just read Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Just kind of get a little, just a little brief history on Colossians. It was written approximately about 60 to 61 A.D. It was written by the Apostle Paul in prison. It was one of the prison epistles. To the church at Colossae. And Epaphras, also, he consulted with Paul during Paul's house arrest about the Judaistic Gnostic heresy in Colossae. And we see here that Paul wrote from Rome to the Colossian assembly through his servant, Tychicus. All right, so Tychicus was sent back with Onesimus to the Colossian church. And we'll see that, actually, let's read it, verse 4 and 7. Actually, chapter 4, verse 7. And we'll see here where the Bible says, "All my state shall Tychicus, I declare to you who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord." So we see here, okay, that this brother, he was faithful. And then in verse 9, we see Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all these things which are done here. So we have to remember that this is addressed to a local assembly, okay? This is not some type of universal thing. Yes, we can make some applications to certain things, but this is addressed to the church at Colossae.
Amen.
So we see that here. And then we go into the purpose of the book of Colossians, and then we go back to verse chapter 2, verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So we see here that Greek philosophy had crept into the assembly. Okay? And prior to the influence of Plato on New Testament Christianity, This great Greek philosopher influenced the Greco-Roman world into which Christianity came. Such men like Socrates, Plato, and others Aristotle, you know, these were all Gnostics who contributed to the ancient world's knowledge in math, ethics, government, science, and religion. This latter category, religion, constituted the worldview of philosophy and was foundational to all other disciplines. All of these aforementioned philosophers embraced pantheism as is inherited Gnostic tenets. Now, pantheism, and we're going to get more into that, and we're going to see it laid out in the scripture, is basically means that all is God, God is all. I mean, you could be a God, I could be a God, you be God, you know, that little ant there can be God, you know, God is all is God. So that's pantheism. So then we see some of the characteristics of the Colossae church. Paul addresses, as we go in chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, Paul addresses the faithful saints at Colossae, the body over which Christ was head. So we see that in verse 1 and 2. I'll read verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy is our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see there he's addressing these faithful brothers. By the way, being faithful, amen. These brothers are faithful, amen. There at the Church of Colossae, that local assembly there. All right? So we see that. He also, and then also in verse 18 of chapter 1, he says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, being first. So who's the head of that local body? Jesus Christ. Who's the head of the local body here at BBC? Jesus Christ. Amen? So we see that. Then also we go to, he also reminds, as we go to chapter 1, verse 13, we see here where the apostle, he reminds, that is Paul, he reminds the church at Colossae, he reminds them that they have been delivered from the power of darkness. And let's look at verse 13 of chapter 1. And the Bible says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into this kingdom of his dear son. So we see this here. We also see the apostle acknowledge that God made him a minister. And we see that in verse 23. If ye continue, the ye he's talking is plural, and he's talking to the congregation at Colossae. And he says, and ye continued in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved always from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So we see there how he's acknowledged that he's a minister. Also, Paul taught this biblical truth to counter the Gnostics. And we see this truth is conveyed as he gets into it. We get it from the lies of the garden. And we're going to actually turn over to Genesis chapter 3. We'll be flipping back and forth so we can kind of make some connections here. So Genesis chapter 3. Verse 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. That should be easy. It's right in front of the book. Amen. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. And the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, and this is when she's being tempted, ye shall not surely die. Here we see, before I go on, we see two lies from the garden. One of them is deathlessness. Okay? So we see here that the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. And this is in the form of reincarnation. Reincarnation. And we're going to get more into that as we go along. But just kind of give you a little insight to that. Okay? So we see the first lie in the garden, and then which is deathlessness. Deathlessness. Ye shall not surely die. And then we're going to go on to verse 5, where the Bible says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, we're going to dissect this verse right quick, okay? So we see here that ye shall not surely die, which we know that that's in reincarnation. And then we see the knowing in this verse, which we get a Hebrew word, yada, which means, or our root word, Gnosticism comes from. And what is Gnosticism? It's our religious knowledge or special knowledge. So we see that that is there also. This is the root of it. So this is where the Gnostics, this is the lies of the garden, how Satan is the one that propagated this. And then we see also in that verse that you should be as gods. And this is what we talked about earlier, pantheism. Right here, first right in the garden. This is where it all started. Okay? Pantheism. What is pantheism? God is all is God. Right here in the garden. Okay? So we see the deathlessness. And then also we see the deification as well. Flesh is evil. And if you turn over to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. So we see here the Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, that's Satan, all right, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst waken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So we see there pantheism there. And we see here there's no salvation from the body. All his activity that he's projecting, he's an angel. Remember, Satan is an angel. Okay, you know, he has no use for the body, for the physical body. You know, he's a spirit being, and he's real. Okay, he's not what we see on television and coloring books and all that, where he's like a devil with, you know, red color with horns and, you know, those things and hooves and all of that. No, you know, he's an angel of light. All right? So, and then also, I'll just use it as a reference. You can look at it if you want to. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 to 17. And you'll see how he's decorated all these precious stones. All right? Now, I do have a handout before I go on here. And I want to hand this out to everyone. And then, Brother Bill, I need you to help me. I'm just going to flip this board around.
You
want to
flip it around?
Yeah, I'm just going to turn it around. I have a surprise for you all.
Really?
So. So we watch the walls. Just slide it. There you go. There you go. Somebody been a little busy here yesterday, so. Okay, so we got a couple of things established already. The lies of the gardens. We got the lies in the garden. So we have deathlessness, reincarnation. Okay. Deathlessness, you never die. All right? You keep living, and you throw off the body. All right? So we see that there. Now, what we've studied in different cults, it is a common theme that runs through all cults. And you'll see that as we go along. But for example, we see here, science, like the cult, you ever heard of Scientology? Okay, it's a cult. All right, call it what it is. Market it off. All right. Scientology believes that deity, okay, this is the chart that you have is the hip-hop pleroma. We're going to deal with that later. But I just want you to get just a basic understanding of what the pleroma is all about. All right? So in Scientology, Scientology believes that deity somehow got trapped into man. So in this pleroma, you have the spirit world or the non-material. All right? I don't want to block everyone. Okay. All right. So you have the spirit world. That's the non-material. You got spirit, mind, idea, thought, ancestors. All right. And then you have the angels. All right. And then you have these different steps that this God, this deity, this thought got trapped into a man. In some way, it's got to work its way back up to Godhood. So that's basically the idea. All right? So in Scientology, they believe that deity got trapped into the human body, man, all right, and needed to escape by having e-meters, all right, that would detect engrams. In each sessions, you kind of build your way back up the pleroma. And by the way, these sessions that they have are very, very expensive. Okay? So that's the idea. All right? Idea. All right? So you understand that. Deity. All right? Trapped into a body. It's got to work its way back up the pleroma. Okay? So that's the idea. Man's religion have embraced these lies in the form of reincarnation, humanism, and flesh is evil heresies. All world religions and cults teach that man is a deity somehow, which we just talked about, somehow in some way locked into a human and needs deliverance from that body to work his way back up to Godhood. This deliverance comes by man's advancing through various means from the state of defiled man, that is here, defiled man. Okay, where am I here? Defiled man to the state to the spirit of deity. All right? The Gnostics taught that man must progress up the pleroma, or the fullness, through various helps. All right, these helps may be human or spirit guides, humans. So you got spirit guides, you got swamis, you know, the eons, shamans, teachers. I mean, you can plug anything there. These are the helps that will help you to get back up. The pleroma to the spirit world, to Godhead. Okay? And then turn over to Acts chapter 17, verse 16 and 18. Now, what I'm doing is just laying a foundation so you can just have an understanding. So when we get into the actual hip-hop, then we're going to connect the dots. And then you're going to see it played right out easily. Okay, so Acts chapter 17, verse 16 through 18. The Bible says, now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And certain philosophers, all right, of the Epicureans and the Stoics. So you have the Epicureans and you have the Stoics. Okay, these were the philosophers of that day. The Stoics were the individual who denied the flesh. All right? The Epicureans enjoyed the flesh. All right? So the Epicureans, like I said, they would enjoy everything about the body, you know, for its uses, useless. Okay, this is where you have a hedonism come in. Okay? And I would even plug those who are womanizing. Okay? Because what you're doing is just using the body. All right? It's worth nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Okay? Womanizing or vice versa. Doesn't matter. All right? Then you have the Stoics. So that's, you know, more of your Western world where we're, you know, more wealthy and things like that. So you're enjoying yourself. Okay? But in some of your Eastern countries, you know, that are very poor, okay, they don't have that to enjoy. So they go the opposite way. And that's when they go where they're denying the flesh. Okay? So they don't have the monetary means of enjoying all the luxuries of life. So they go the opposite way. But either way, it's a method of working up the pleroma, going back to Godhead. Okay? Are you with me? Okay, I just want to make sure you're with me. All right. So, go back to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. In verse 9, Paul states that Christ is the pleroma. He also taught that believers are complete in Christ and may not attempt to advance to Godhood. Christ is the head of angels and demons. So we see here, the Bible says, beware, in verse 8, 9, beware lest any man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and that after Christ. For, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, that is in Jesus Christ. He is the pleroma.
Amen.
That's what the word fullness means in the Greek, pleroma. So he's the fullness of pleroma. All right? And also, in verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Ye, who is he addressing? The church at Colossae. Believers. These believers in Christ, he says, Paul writes to them and says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. So he's the head over the angels as well. All right? And a scripturally saved individual, okay, is complete in him. We don't have to work our way up. We're already complete.
Amen?
Amen. Okay. Let's keep it moving. Okay, now I'm about to get into the crutch of what we're talking about concerning hip-hop. All right? Now, I want to start off by saying I am not uplifting hip-hop. Okay? I'm not glorifying it. All right? So when I get into it, I'm just relaying message of what hip-hop is and what it's about. Okay? So I just want to make that clear. Amen. All right? Not glorifying it. Amen. But I just want to educate you on it. All right? And something that's very, very valuable and key to this whole thing is this. We have to have the mind of Christ when we view this. If you don't have the mind of Christ, this is going to go right over your head. Okay? I didn't make this up. All right? These are lies of the garden. And when we have the mind of Christ, you can turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Everything I do and say, I want to line it up with Scripture. So you won't think that this is my opinion. My opinion means nothing. This book here has the final authority in everything we say and do. All right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is Paul addressing the local church at Corinth. Okay? So we have the mind of Christ. And this is how we have to view and measure anything that's out there in the world. We have to line it up with Scripture. Okay? With the mind of Christ. So keep that in mind as we go along. Don't think that this is what I came up with. The Lord has enlightened me, showed me some things through this here. We're going to connect the dots. That's why I did all of this. All right? So we can connect the dots. All right? Mind of Christ. See, what the world don't understand and know is that Satan has been around a long time. Okay? And there's nothing new under the sun. It's just repackaged differently. But if you don't know the Scriptures, you are a lost individual. You can easily get caught up in it. Amen? Okay, so let's go on. Now I'm going to get into hip-hop. Lawrence Chris Parker, a.k.a. KRS-One, all right, the teacher. He is one of the founding fathers of hip-hop, and he was part of the group that's called Boogie Down Productions. Now, I know a lot of you heard, or maybe some of you heard, of KRS-One, all right? And I can say that, well, I can know, you know, back in our days, I can say, I don't want to call her out, but, you know, Linda Cargington, to myself, you know, being brought up in New York City, you know, I had first, first witness to a lot of these things here that's going on, okay? Before it branched out of the city and all over. All right? But KRS-One, okay, when he was younger, he always wanted to be a philosopher. All right? And an MC. All right? So his stage name, K, the letter KRS-One, okay, is abbreviated for Knowledge Reigns Supreme Over Nearly Everyone. Okay, that's what it means. That's what his rap name means. All right? Satan is now using KRS-One's platform to indoctrinate the younger generations with this cultic philosophy / lies of the garden. In these Ivy League universities and colleges throughout the world. Okay? Now, KRS-One, he says, and by the way, the reason why I bring all this up is that one day I was watching television and I saw this documentary called 36 Years of Hip Hop. And for some of you know that I've been studying up on hip-hop, because I've been meaning for years, I've been wanting to come up with a message. I knew there was something there, but I was trying to find out what it was. And I learned a lot of things from other things that I, tools that I've gotten, but it wasn't really up until now to what I discovered that I said, I really need to share this. And the Lord enlightened me on something here. Okay? So when I saw this this lecture that he was giving at one of the Ivy League schools, he stated, Karis once stated before he started off the about his lecture concerning hip-hop, he says, he's going to be coming from a metaphysical, spiritual, philosophical approach to hip-hop in his lecture. That's what really caught my attention. It's just when I turned the channel, that's what I caught. And that's what caught my attention. It's not that I was going looking for hip-hop and listening. No, that wasn't that. Okay? So when I heard that, I said, this is going to be interesting. And he says, and now remember, KRS-One is an unregenerated man. All right? It's the personage behind him that's doing this. Okay? So that personage is Satan. All right? He's behind this. But being that KRS-One is an unregenerated man, he has no clue to this. Mind of Christ. Okay? We're viewing this from the mind of Christ. All right? So we can pick up on this. And we see the lies of the garden. So KRS-One says this, and I quote, my body is trapped in time. It's an invisible space, but hip-hop is an idea. It's an idea. You can't wear hip-hop. You can't put it on. You can't buy a can of hip-hop. You can't drink hip-hop and all of a sudden become hip-hop. Okay? Unquote. So we already see where this is going. All right? Now, my personal testimony in this. Okay? You know, I just wanted to say that, you know, for the record, that this Enlightenment teaching on the hip-hop Pleroma was requested by my pastor to teach this local assembly and those that are listening on the internet, okay, concerning this correlation of the lies of the garden, okay, through this documentary that I saw. And also watch it on YouTube where I can really study and examine it. All right? By KRS-One. And this Lies of the Garden that is repackaged in the genre of music called hip-hop / cult. And you're going to see what I mean when we go along. I personally feel like Moses. All right? After I watched this, and when I was enlightened to this here, I felt like Moses. So how do you, okay, what are you saying? You're the deliverer? Okay, but I personally felt like Moses being exiled from Egypt. All right? And being enlightened at the burning bush on the backside of the desert in the mountain. Meaning, I was exiled from the Bronx. Meaning that when I got out of college, my parents shipped me to Connecticut. I didn't have no say-so. I was exiled from the Bronx. This is my connection or parallelism as I'm using. So, I was exiled from the Bronx, and on the backside of Connecticut, in a local church in Cromwell called Bible Baptist Church, I was enlightened and given the tools and a commission to go to Egypt, which represents the world, and demand, let my people go.
Amen.
Let my people go from this cult called hip-hop. Okay? I don't know where you are when it comes to this. Some of us have came out of it. Some of us are still dabbling in it. Some of us are making it a way of life. Some of you have no clue of what this is all about. Okay, so this message is for everyone that's in here.
Amen.
Okay? Now, we're going to do something just like I did earlier. And now, we're going to refer to the chart, but we're going to look at the hip-hop pleroma. So, what I'm using here is what KRS-One was teaching in these schools. This is the format he was using. So I'm not just making this up. And if you don't believe me, go watch it. I've already had a few, as you can see, and here, and even some others who checked into this. I'm not making this up. All right? But anyway, it lies in the garden. The hip-hop pleroma. So KRS-One, when he was lecturing at this particular school, he defined what was hip-hop. He said the word hip, as I believe I have it right there, hip means to know. Okay? Hop means movement. When you put hip-hop together, it's to know why I move. This is how KRS-One defines this. Now remember, he's coming from a metaphysical, okay, spiritual, philosophical approach to hip-hop. See, what they thought they was getting is just the history and how it started. See, that's what they thought. KRS-One said, no, you guys missing the whole picture. This thing is spiritual. It's demonic. We know that. Mind of Christ. All right? But this thing is spiritual. He is one of the founding fathers of hip-hop. All right? So, to know. So we see in the non-material world, is hip-hop, and you see the spelling, it's perfectly spelled that way. Lower H, I-P, lower H, O-P. This is his words. I'm not just making this up. This is his words. It's an awareness. It's a consciousness. And black consciousness was big back then, even to this day. All right? And in my own personal life, this was me. This was my culture. This is what me. This is what I was brought up into. Now, some of you are getting into hip-hop or trying to experience hip-hop, okay? And I'm not saying this to brag on myself. I was there at the birth of this. I was part of that, okay? Before it left New York City, we had no idea that this became a billion-dollar industry today. This is something that we did in the neighborhood. Okay? So a lot of these rappers, a lot of these guys, especially in New York City, I grew up with a lot of these guys. So I was an eyewitness to a lot of this stuff here. Okay? Just like someone who's trying to be qualified to be an apostle, to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? And witnessing, you know, through baptism of John the Baptist's ministry. I was an eyewitness to this. I can say Ms. Carrington, who grew up in New York City, was eyewitness to this as well. So you're not hearing third and fourth hand information. I was there. Okay? And I could speak about this in the back of my head, right off the back of my head. This. All right? So he purposely says hip-hop, lowercase, is awareness, collective consciousness, idea, ancestors, principles, a shared idea. All right? Then we see it, so we see the non-material world. All right? And then, so you can give an example, the love of hip-hop, the thug of hip-hop, okay, the vision of hip-hop, okay? You can't touch those things, okay? Those are just thoughts and ideas, all right? Then we go over to second, see that as number one. Then number two, hip-hop. Now you see the spelling is different on this here. It's capital H-I-P. Capital H, O-P. This is the culture. All cultures are capitalized. Okay? So this is the culture, which is the actions. All right? Now, all cultures, I'm going to lose my place here, produces product. All right? So we see here, this culture has nine elements, and I'm going to get more into this here, all right? But we have nine elements of hip-hop, all right, as far as the product. And make sure I'm in the right place here. Yeah, okay, so nine elements of hip-hop. So what are these nine elements? First, there were four core elements. Okay, so you have breaking, MCing. So I got it abbreviated. I think on the paper that you have, I got it written out. But I got it abbreviated up here because of the space. But you have breaking, MCing, graffiti art, DJing. Those were the four core elements of hip-hop. And this was by Kool Herc, another rapper, stage name. Okay, because Kool Herc was the one that founded hip-hop. Okay, on Sedgwick Avenue in the Bronx. I'll get more into that a little later. Okay. So he started the four core, but then it developed into nine elements. All right. So the nine elements are breaking, MCing, graffiti art, DJing. In fact, let me, before I just rattle off with these things, maybe some of you might not even know what this is. So let me just kind of define what it is. So you got breaking. What is breaking? That's called breakdancing. All right? So you have your B-boy, we call it B-boy, or your B-girl. And how that came about was back in the day, in the 70s, going into the 80s, there was a lot of gangs during that time. So in order to square off things or whatever, obviously they kill one another. Okay, and by the way, I witnessed a lot of that growing up in Harlem, in the Bronx. But anyway, they came up with this thing called breaking. And instead of fighting and killing one another, what they do is battle by breakdancing. Whoever won, you know, with the best dance, these B-boys and B-girls that won the battle, they won it without killing one another. Okay, so that's how that came about. All right, MCing. That is just someone who's talking on the microphone, who's rapping. You know, he's giving the words and rhyming. Basically, the MC. All right, graffiti art. A lot of you probably seen that going into New York City. You look on the subway cars, and you see all kinds of art drawn on the subway cars in New York City or the walls. You know. So you know, you see these murals, you know, of all type of you know graffiti art, you know, in relating to hip hop, that is. All right, then you have DJing, you know, that is someone who's playing the music. He has the turntables, and he's playing the music in the background. So that's the DJ. Beatboxing, that is someone who can manipulate their voice, you know, their vocal cords. and making certain sounds. And you kind of make these sounds and give this this rhythm and rap to it. So you had guys who were beatbox, who was good at that, was like Dougie Fresh. And who else was the other guy? Yeah, Dougie Fresh and, well, that'll come back to me. So anyway, that's the beatbox. Okay, so then you have street fashion, that is hip hop wear, certain style of wear for hip hop. Okay, so you have the street fashion. You have the street language, that is the street language. Okay, so you have that. And one of the things in the jails today, being that I worked in the jail system, in the correctional field, even to this day, you have, Crips and Bloods and all that. And believe it or not, you see some of these letters that they write, and it's in codes, different codes. Okay, so therefore you can't be able to understand it. So that's how they get their message across and get certain things. So you see the street language. Then street knowledge. You ever heard of that term, someone being street smarts? Okay. Knowing how to defend yourself out there in the streets. You'll get burned a few times, then you'll kind of get it. All right? Live it out there in the streets. It's rough out there. All right? Then you have street entrepreneurship. Okay? And then here's where you have your drug dealers, and those who, your stick-up boys, stick-up kids, as we used to call them, So these guys are big drug kingpins, So you have these nine elements. These are the nine elements. These are the nine elements, okay, of hip-hop. All right? Now, I said I was going to get back to this here. There's nine elements. Now, remember I said we got to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. So, let's go back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits, and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Now, what we want to key in is this word, rudiments. This word, rudiments, okay, in the Greek, means elements. Okay? Am I right, Jeff? Okay. So remember, we have in the mind of Christ. And remember, KRS-One is an unregenerated man. So we're looking at the person behind him. You see, Satan knows the scriptures inside and out. And he can utilize terms that the world, the unregenerated world, it'll go right over their head. But we, being having the mind of Christ, we can see exactly what he's doing. All right? So, we see that the rudiments, this rudiments means elements. Now, elements means demons. How do you know that? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 3 to 9. And I believe the context of this is how Paul is addressing them concerning before Christ came, let's read it first. Okay, so you there? All right, Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 9. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. So remember, rudiments means elements. elements of this world, of the world. But when the fullness, that is the pleroma, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. So we know the Son is the fullness. And he mentions that also in Colossians, that he is the pleroma. So when the fullness came, and just before I go on, I believe it was during this time what he's addressing was those 400 years, dark years, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we had John the Baptist picks up and becomes the forerunner for Christ. All right, so that's basically what he's talking about here. All right, so as we go on, that's to give you a little backdrop so you kind of understand what's going on here. So when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then as heir of God through Christ. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them? That's these demons. Amen, which by nature are no gods. See that? Elements, rudiments, or rudiments, elements, demons. Same word. But now, verse 9, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weaker and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. So remember, we had the mind of Christ as we view this, right? So, I know we'll be on time here. I just want to finish this up. Okay, all right, all right, okay. All right, so it's not what I'm saying. I'm viewing this through the mind of Christ. So we got these nine elements here, right? So I came to my conclusion as I'm looking through the lens of the mind of Christ, that these nine elements that KRS-One mentioned and is recorded are demons. These are nine demons that are behind each and every one of these elements. Okay? So you have the demon, a demon behind breaking. You have a demon behind MCing. You have a demon behind graffiti art. You have a demon behind DJing. You have a demon behind beatboxing. You have a demon behind street fashion. You have a demon behind street language. You have a demon behind street knowledge. And you also have a demon behind street entrepreneurship. I'm not making this up, folks. It's the mind of Christ. It's what the Word of God says. Okay, so we have the product. We have the culture. We have the culture. So the culture, you have the nine elements. And then number three, first we have hip-hop, the awareness. We have two, hip-hop culture. And then three, we have hip-hop, how it's spelled, H-I-P, dash. It's not like together there. Okay, so there's dash there, space, lowercase, hip-hop, and this is the product. And this is what I talk about, all cultures have product, all right? So hip-hop product, you have vinyl records. Maybe some of you are younger here, you don't even know what a vinyl record is, or album, a vinyl album is, okay? So you have the vinyl records, you have cassette tapes, Okay, yeah, CDs, videos, MP3s, as we, you know. Oh yeah, I forgot about the 8-track. Well, we didn't have a hip hop on 8-tracks. But I know where you're going. I've been there too. You know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the product, all right? And then we go down to number 4, the hip hopper. These are the celebrities. Yeah. These are the celebrities, or someone who's trying to get celebrity status. These are your hip hoppers, all right? So as we go along, we'll see that the cry that KRS-One has is to the young generation and to recruit them into this being a conscious hip-hopper. All right? So the Bible says in Galatians, before we get there, there's a book that I also have called The Gospel of Hip-Hop, First Instrument Presented by KRS-One for the Temple of Hip-Hop. Okay? Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that ye are soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, the gospel of hip-hop is another gospel. Okay? It's another gospel. Okay, let me pick up the pace here. Now, in this book that I read, okay, The Gospel According to Hip-Hop, KRS-One quotes this psychic, okay? And you see it at the bottom of your page here. I believe it's Edgar Casey. And he says that heaven is not a place you go to, it's a place you grow to. So remember, he's a psychic. And he also believed in reincarnation. See, this all go hand in hand. Okay? That was put there for a reason. All right? But my Bible says this. All right? In John chapter 14, verse 2. Okay, I'm going to speed it up here, so I'll just read the verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Okay? The ye there, he's talking to his disciples. The ye is plural. Jesus was talking to his disciples, his local assembly. Prior in the chapter 13. And then they had the foot washing and the Lord's Supper and all of that. Okay, so that's what he's referring to. Okay, now let me just keep going here. Now I'm going to read an insert. It's a chapter. It's not long, but it's going to pick out some things in here, in this book by KRS-One. He says, in the end, the last days of others became the first days for us. All praise, glory, and worship be to God. I wonder what God he's talking about. The Lord that rescued us from oppression and ignorance. All right? And to all future generation of hip-hop, know this. It is this love that has delivered this gospel to our people for our correction and survival. This gospel comes to us as the physical manifestation of God's grace and love for hip-hop. I am but one of many who was saved by such love. In my time, your past, I am called teacher, spelled T-E-A-C-H-A, street language. Okay? I'm called teacher. I was a present at the first time. I am the firstborn. I am the age of Leo. And I have come to call all hip-hop nations into existence. To all future generations of hip-hop, I am the B-boy or B-girl who destroys all negative circumstances. Now you're getting to the nine elements. I am the MC who reach above poverty skillfully, the divine word warrior known in my time as the blast master. I am the graffiti writer who thinks and grows spiritually. I draw peace, love, unity, joy. I am the DJ who delivers justice while cutting, mixing, and scratching with life. I am the beatboxer whose body expresses art through the sound. I play God's instrument. I am the fashion that uncovers the fear and shame hidden in oppressed nations. I am the language that loves and never gets understanding amongst grown-up educators. I am the utterance of my culture. I am known as knowledge reigning supreme. I build and destroy, heal and inspire with the right combination of words that is street knowledge. I am the entrepreneur who presents expert negotiating that repeatedly escapes poverty's routine experiences, never exploiting unlimited resources. In my time, I am self-created and self-sustained. I am hip-hop. I am not just doing hip-hop. I am hip-hop. I am the watchman in the tower of hip-hop in a city urging my people to turn from sicknesses, hatred, ignorances, and poverty and restore to health, love, awareness, and wealth. I am the teacher, a witness to the activity of God's within and around hip-hop. Okay, so remember, Satan is the great imitator. Right. All right? He likes to mimic what God does. Remember, we got to have the mind of Christ. I am. Satan. So we see here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. I'll read it. If you want to turn to it, that's fine. But Exodus 3, chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Let's see where he got this I am from. All right? The Bible says in the Old Testament here in the book of Exodus, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he shall say, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord of God, your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my name and memorial unto all generations. Okay? So just as we see the nine repetitive I ams of Satan / demons, we have the five repetitive also of I wills of Satan / demons in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. We read that a little earlier. So just as you repeated the I am nine times, we see the same thing here mentioned in Isaiah. How art thou fallen from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which is a weakening the nation? But thou hast said unto thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Okay? I will exalt my throne unto the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. So we see the mimicking. Okay? Then he goes on to say, KRS-One, I was now, this, I'm reading from his book, so what I'm about to read right now. All right? I was present at the beginning of this world age. August 11th, 3114 BC. I was again present at the birth and transformation of hip-hop since its artistic organization at 1520 Sedgwick Avenue in the Bronx, August 11th, 1973. Sounds like reincarnation to me. Okay? And this is where Cool Herc came in. He's the one that started that there. Okay, I'm not going to get more into details of that for the sake of time. I am the true witness to the divinity and culture of history of hip-hop. Hip-hop is my family. I am like the people I teach. I am like the people I am among. I am not ashamed or afraid of my family. I am hip-hop. Okay, it's reincarnation. In my time, your past, I am called the conscious hip-hop. I am the stepfather and the legal guardian of hip-hop. This I confirm to those truth-seeking hip-hop scholars in my future. MCing is my craft, and I have mastered my craft. I am the hip-hop, and in my time, I have mastered myself. So I says that, you know, in my opinion, in the statement, he was giving the authority to represent hip-hop as a whole. To all my hustlers, thugs, and gangsters trying to survive these mean streets. Okay, I'm almost done here, all right? To all my hustlers, thugs, and gangsters trying to survive in these mean streets, this is your gospel. To all my gods, goddesses, revolutionaries, street scholars, and conscious hip-hoppers, this is your heritage and birthright. This is the good news for you all, for you. All praise and glory and worship be to God, the love of, that loved us first as hip-hop. It's pantheism. God is all is God. For with this first instrument, we remember God and how we were rescued by unseen forces, more powerful than any government on earth. For when all and seem hopeless oppression seem permanent, a caring, protective, nurturing, creative force independent of this world's political, business, educational, and religious institutions swept through our hearts and homes, and we were rescued from sickness, hatred, ignorance, poverty, with the behavior that we eventually began to call hip-hop. And we will never forget this. With this instrument written at the time of hip-hop's cultural beginnings, we remind all future generations of hip-hop to never forget the love that saved us from self-destruction. Hip-hop has no other creator, no other savior, and no other architect. Acts 4:12, this is what I insert scriptures. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Okay? This is how many today, this is what Kara says, listen to this carefully. This is how many today treat God in hip-hop, / hip-hop. They seek the hand and not the face. They seek the luxury but not the culture. The food, but not the appetite. The house, but not the home. The medicine, but not the health. The bed, but not the rest. They would rather use God, hip-hop, than live God, hip-hop. Okay? Now, these are Plato's tenets in philosophy. That's where this comes from. You ever heard of the term, we read here, it says, thought and experience tends to structure the world in terms of opposite characteristics of dualism, as such as mind and matter, good and evil, reality and appearance. This is where we get the term mind over matter. This is where KRS-One, who wanted to be a philosopher, got his teaching from and implement it in this genre of music called hip-hop, which is cultic to its core. As we have observed within our 46 years of hip-hop, so hip-hop started in 1973 up until this day, that's 46 years, hip-hop was the saving force. If hip-hop didn't do anything else, what it actually did in real history is rescue the children of a scattered and impoverished people from certain death. Yes, hip-hop has inspired the development of breaking, MCing, with all the nine, you know, elements, okay? But all of these elements basically did one thing. They saved us. See, it's work salvation. Remember, Christ is the pleroma. All right? Listen, my people. If you're struggling in this area, I'd like to conclude by saying this. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay? Man's religion has embraced these lies in the form of reincarnation, humanism, flesh is evil, heresy. All religions and cults teach that man, deity, somehow, in some way, locked into humanity and needs to be delivered. All right? Paul says that Christ is the pleroma in Colossians 2:9. He also taught that believers are complete in Christ and may not attempt to advance to godhood. Christ is the head of angels and demons in Colossians 2:10. Paul taught that man is a sinner needing divine redemption from sin rather than he's good needing knowledge and experience to escape the pleroma. Okay? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe there's someone here. Listen to me, folks. Maybe there's someone here. All right? Maybe there's someone here that is not saved. And maybe you don't understand all of this here. Okay? Maybe you don't understand all of this here. And you have experienced being, and you haven't experienced being completed in this pleroma. That is Christ's pleroma. Here are some scriptures to help you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if there's someone here that's unsaved, this is what the Bible says in your condition. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody righteous. The pastor's not righteous. The Pope is not righteous. No one is. For all, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you remember when we was in school? For some of us, that was a long time ago. Okay, Pastor Mark was 65. I don't know if they raised the bar or whatever now. But, you know, if anything short of that, you fail. Okay, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because Adam sinned, it was passed down. We inherited it. Okay? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you experienced being at a funeral? Raise your hands. Okay. So here's a quick little analogy for you. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Okay? That death that that's talking about, all right, is the second death. So when you look at the casket, you see that body there. That's the first death. Okay? That's when the soul separates from the body. Okay? But this is talking about the second death. And these are for unbelievers. All right? This is very, very important. Your soul depends on this here. Okay? So they experience the second death. That is eternal separation from God. Right. All right? And that's when the Lord says here, and let's go to That's my place here. It's Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, which is referring to that's my time to end. But anyway, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing in the gospel, not the gospel of hip hop, the gospel here in the scriptures. What is the gospel? It's the good news. What is the good news? It talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, and I end with the last verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So my friend, listen to me. You can walk outside this door and get into a car accident and slip into eternity. And you stand before the Lord in judgment. And God says, depart from me, I know you not. What are you going to do about that? It's very simple. You have to repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you got questions about that, I would urge you to speak to someone right after the service about that. Your soul depends on it. How many ladies we got in here? Raise your hands, ladies. When you stand before God in judgment, guess what? Your children's not going to be there with you. Mama ain't going to be there with you. Daddy's not going to be there with you. Your soulmate ain't going to be there with you. You got to give an account for yourself. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for the things that we discovered and how it was brought forth. Pray that it'd be a blessing to someone and challenge some others. But I pray that you be glorified through this. Lord, as we expose the lies of the garden, I pray that this message would be not just only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So thankful for each and everyone that's here. I pray for someone that may not even know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, that they would inquire about having this personal and relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask your blessings on these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.